I've just switched myself on. Good. Oh, well, oh. I was a Bible student and I had to stand in Edinburgh High Street to do an open air message. So I am used to shouting without any help, so I don't want to break their eardrums. Well, it's my first visit to your friends, and it's lovely of you to have me. I was in, where was I now? Neston in Lancashire just recently, and I was introduced by a friend who I was at college with, and she said, I come with a health warning. So I hope I don't affect your health this morning, and you'll leave in as good a health as you came. Now, I don't want to expound this portion. There's such a lot of good things to say before verse 17. But I'm not going to do that this morning. I really just want to use the portion to bring out some good evangelistic qualities that Elisha had. Now, whoever says that there are new things under the sun, I disagree. There is nothing new under the sun. It may be that we in the 21st century modernise things of old, but anything I do as an evangelist, I've creamed from those that's gone before me, and Elisha is one of them. And I'll explain about a 21st century modern version in my talk. But here we have a child who was incredibly precious, because the child was born given a promise by Elisha. But in the portion we read that the child died. And where obviously he had some problem, he spoke about his head, and we know that the child died. And of course, we are very precious to God, because he created us, and he created us never to die. He created us to have fellowship with us. But we're physically alive this morning, but we are all born spiritually dead. Whether you're born from a pigsty to a palace and everything in between, we are all born spiritually dead. Unlike some of my troops that like to tell me otherwise, that they've never sinned, I have to inform them that they were born dead spiritually. And that is true of us all. There is none that has not sinned. All have sinned, Paul said, and come short of God's glory. So here Elisha was dealing with a child whose condition was dead. And of course, so are we as evangelists, and we're all evangelists if we are witnessing for God where we are. But verse 30, we see that Elisha, we see his concern, because when the Shunammite went to Elisha, we read that he arose and he followed her. Elisha, whatever he was getting up to, left that particular situation, whatever that may have been, and he went with her. He arose and he followed her. And of course, that's what we need, don't we, in our own lives, to the world outside. We need that concern. Jesus came to seek and to save. Nobody desires God But we come like Jesus, we're seeking, and we're seeking to introduce them to the Saviour. When Elisha saw the boy and he was dead, what did he do? First of all, we see that he cried unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. Now, Elisha realized that this situation was way beyond him. He was a boy that had died physically. What did he do? He got on his knees and he began to pray. And how vital is prayer in our Christian lives and in our ministry? It is interesting to notice the difference between Elisha and Gehazi. You see, Gehazi, he had his method. He had the stick. He put the stick on the boy's body, on the boy's face. He put the stick on him. But that was all. That's all he did. He had a method, but no prayer. Whereas Elisha, he had this in him that he wanted to pray, and he went in, closed the door behind him, and he prayed. And in verse 34, we see that Elisha, he got on the bed and he lay upon the boy mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out upon the boy. You see, Elisha got close. He got as close as he could to this young boy that he was seeking to minister to. And of course, as an evangelist now, how I do my evangelism is not the same as my colleagues. I am the only woman reader. I am the longest serving in any capacity. And we know, ladies, don't we, that men are from Mars. They're from another planet. And so I do my ministry different to my colleagues, but we're all individuals. And I do my ministry in what makes me feel comfortable as an evangelist. And so if I share things, it's how I do it. Don't think that all my male colleagues have got my mentality. I do say to my troops, I have been given, if you could have a master's degree in nonsense, I have it. I don't have a master's degree in sense, but I have plenty of nonsense. And I find that goes a long way with my troops. And we in the military, we love our banter, and I give a lot out, but I also have to take it. You know, the troops, it's not a one-way banter. I have as much abuse from them as I give them, but of course it's nice abuse. But some of the abuse that I have experienced over my time as a reader, such as this is incredibly blasphemous. I found it under my wipers on my car, and when I came out from a section, "Follow me to Old Trafford." Dreadful. I'm a Liverpool fan. And that's the kind of abuse that I have to put up with. Another one I got, Oldham Supporters Club, car pass. I mean, you know, I'm there to spread love, peace and goodwill to all men. And this is the kind of stuff that I get. For sale, free to any Everton fan. I know, it's really, you know, and this is a lovely Liverpool card, but unfortunately it's got on with sympathy. It's all right, you men laughing, you know, it's typical. Our thoughts are with you at this sad time, and that Arsenal are doing much better. You see, I love banter. I love abuse. But of course it's all done in good spirit, and it's what I like from my truth, because I'm seeking to get close to them. How do I get close to my troops that are spiritually dead? No interest in spiritual things. God is not the top of their Christmas card list. He doesn't even come into their thinking. So how do I connect with them? Well, since I became a reader, things have changed quite a lot. I was the Lynham Ladies' goalkeeper for many years, and they used to say, "Meg, we like you in goal because you keep telling us God's with you, so that's two of you in the goal. We should do all right between you." And yes, we won some trophies. Can't say it's all to do with my goalkeeping, but we won some trophies. But one of the things that I've done for the last 38 years is a 100-mile march. I do it every July in Holland. It's a marathon a day for 4 days. And along the way, I give out Kojak lollies to our lads and lasses. Now, you youngsters that don't know who Kojak is, he was a detective on the television, and he always had a lollipop that he sucked, and so I call them Kojak lollies. It's just an opportunity. I wear ridiculous specs every day for 4 days, a different pair every day. I wear the ridiculous specs for 25 miles. My specs are now well known in Nijmegen, but they've no idea who's wearing them. Well, the civvy people anyway, but I'm always having, "Can I have a selfie with you?" And who's to say no to a selfie, so I let them carry on. But it's my way of breaking the ice with my troops, who, that I call them all my troops, but British military from all different units, and it's a way of breaking the ice. This year, Brize Norton, which is my main base now since Lynham closed as RAF Lynham, I now have an army colleague there, but I visit Brize Norton, and Brize Norton had a team this year. It was 18 in numbers. And on day one, it was a hot day, so hot they reversed the whole of the route for us to make it a bit easier. And I was way ahead of the Brize team, so I decided I would sit down at a cafe, which I know well, and I sat and enjoyed Coca-Cola for about an hour and a half. I don't know how much I consumed, but I got 18 Magnum ice creams ready to whip out of the freezer in the little cafe to give to the Brize team as they came by me. And that was on day one. On day two, they got an ice lolly rocket. I thought it might propel them home a little bit quicker than that they were going. And I find the 100 miles is a wonderful opportunity to connect, to walk where they're walking, to experience what they're experiencing. And so I do that every year. I am wicked in my humour. How do I get the gospel across? How do I share Jesus when they're not interested? And bearing in mind, I've got to go in every week. I'm going to the same people. So you can't go and talk about Jesus. They're not interested. If I go into a hangar and just talk about Jesus, I can guarantee you all the men, and bearing in mind there are far more men than women in any section I go in, I'll find all the men in the gentleman's toilet all at once. Because once you lose them, you won't get them back. And so I'm a bit low key on my... I'm not a Bible basher in any way. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to lose them. But I do want to share the word. And I was in the MT yard. This is at Buckley Barracks. I visit Buckley Barracks as well as Brize Norton. And it was a lovely day. And I put a £20 note on the floor. I put this £20 note, I just put it on the floor, and I hid behind a wagon. And I saw this soldier coming up, and his eyes absolutely lit up. Now, we're talking about with sinners. I ain't talking about ministering to saints. And when you see a £20 note, he went, oh, I could see his eyes, made me smile. And he picked it up with real enthusiasm. And he looked at it and he went, oh. And he put it back down on the floor in disgust. Anyway, as he walked by me, I said, here, get in here behind me. And so we were there behind this wagon. And then another soldier came in, and he went, oh! And he, oh. And as he went, get in here. So there's about five soldiers, all crouching, looking at everybody that came in. You see, it might be £20, but don't be fooled. Jesus is the real thing. And they just laughed and thought it was good banter. And of course, one of the lads said, oh, can I have that? And I said, of course you can. I have students at Bryce Norton for their trade, their air cargo. They put all the things on the big pallets and do everything up for ready to go on the aircraft. And I get asked if I'll go and do a little talk to them at each new intake. And they've no idea, they've never met a scripture reader before. And I go in and I say, who believes in dinosaurs? Well, I get this funny look. Not what they're expecting. I said, anybody believe in dinosaurs? Well, the odd hand may go up, and I say, well done, young man, because you're looking at one. I'm a megalosaurus. See, it goes really well with the dinosaur names. And it breaks a bit of ice. And then I say to them what I am. I say I'm a dinosaur because I joined the Women's Royal Air Force in 1966. And your mum and dad weren't probably even born or at school. And most of them say, no, they weren't. And so I say, now look, I tell them what I do, and I carry I call it a morale bag, the boys call it a morale bag, and I am a total walking sweet shop. You name it, you'll get it out of my bag. And I said to the youngsters, look, this is the morale bag. Please come forward. Take something out of it. If you see something you like, take it and go back to your seat. And yes, you can eat it now. And so they would come forward. They're not quite used to such generosity, you know, looking in and they get something. And I say, I bet you think I'm generous, don't you? And they go, oh, yes. Because they won't say anything else because they're straight out of square bashing, you see. And I said, no, I want to show you just how generous I really am. I'm going to pin £20 on your board. See, I stick that bit there. And I say, now look, when your lesson is over, first come, first served, you can have the £20. Well, you can see them all smiling. And I can see their lecturer coming up the corridor because he's just nipped out. And I nip out and I say, put £20 on the board. Just get out the way when the lesson's finished. Of course, they all know me so well. Anyway, the lesson finishes and there is a stampede for the £20. Well, of course, this is what they get. But it is just that something that breaks the barrier, something that is an amusing thing that I get opportunity to use. Do you know, I cannot believe how even of a soldier's tattoo you can get the gospel. Off a soldier's tattoo. I remember a group of soldiers, and they were busy looking at tents. They were checking over the tents to see if they were okay, if they needed patching up or anything. And I went to these soldiers and I said, morning troops, how are we doing? I said, I can see you're busy. So I said, just get something out of the morale bag. And so they all have a little rummage in and get something out. And one young soldier said, And how much is this going to cost me? And I said, you are far too young to be so cynical. I know it's not much, but that's a free gift. You can have it for nothing. And I said, and just while you've got a minute, let me tell you of another free gift. Jesus came to give us new life because of what he did on the cross. For God so loved the world. You can have another free gift of forgiveness. And this other soldier piped up, see, that's two things you can have free. And I thought, well, thank you very much, young man. Anyway, I let them carry on and I went on my way. Coming back round again, they were still at it. They were still at it. I thought, I'm going to really make their day. So I went back. I said, guys, I'm going to really make your day. I'm going to give you, and I've got one for you all, I'm going to give you God's credit card. Oh, yes. So I passed God's credit card around. You may have seen it. I see it a lot on tattoos. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Only God can bring life out of death via the cross. So I gave them again a little gospel talk. Some bright spark from the back of the group said, what's God's PIN number? I said, you want his PIN? I said, of course you need his PIN number. Yes. I said, his PIN number, 333. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Call upon me and I will answer you. I said, you take this to the cross upon which Jesus died. And of course, I use language that I wouldn't necessarily use in expressing, but I want to keep their interest, to connect with them. So I said, take this to the cross and put it in the cross, and you'll get out far more than any bank can give you. So I gave them all a credit card, just a little way of being able to share the gospel. I was in a tea bar with a lot of my troops, and they said to me, Meg, we've got a new Sengo and a new warrant. Now, a Sengo is a senior engineering officer, and the new Sengo at Bryce Norton at 47 Eng is a lady. And we also have a new warrant officer. So I said, oh, I must go introduce myself. And the lady officer was in the tea bar. I introduced myself, and I gave her a Meg's mix. Then I said to her, you'll have to excuse me, ma'am. I just want to go introduce myself to the warrant officer. And I knew that he was going to have all the senior men in this conference room to introduce himself. Now, I knew they weren't all in there because there was some still in the tea bar. So I went into the big conference room, and there were some senior NCOs that know me well, sat around the table, and the warrant officer at the end, waiting for the rest to come in. And I went in, and of course they know that I am naughty, but I hope for nice. And I went to the warrant officer and I said, good morning, sir. I've come to introduce myself. I am Meg the Mobile Vicaress. Call myself Meg the Mobile Vicaress because I take God to the troops. And it makes me mobile. I said, I come and visit your boys regularly. And I said, and I, you know, just wander around the hangar. I said, and they all get a Meg's mix, sir. This is a Meg's mix. These are not any old sweets. These have been on national television, so you can't buy them in a shop. These are Meg's mixes, right? And I said, sir, all your boys get a Meg's mix. I said, bearing in mind I'd never met the man before, I said, And sir, you need one to cheer you up when my boys whop yours. When my Liverpool boys were due to play Arsenal. The next day. Now, I know that because he was sat drinking out of an Arsenal mug. No self-respecting football fan drinks out of somebody else's mug. Right? And there he was with his Arsenal mug. And I said, you're going to need one of these to cheer you up because my boys are going to whop yours. And the guys were just laughing because they knew me well. So I left him a Meg's mix. Yes, my boys whopped Arsenal 4-0. He took it well and he does love me, really. But of course, it's just my way. I have great opportunity. You can tell when an officer is absolutely brand new into the military. One, he's so young, I'm old enough to be his granny for a start. And even just this past week, I met a pilot officer. That doesn't mean he's a pilot, but that's a rank. Pilot officer. Now, they were almost extinct. I don't think I hardly ever see a pilot officer. I'm very respectful to rank, and I call them by their rank, and or sir, and I said, afternoon, sir. I said, and when did you leave Crown? I can be cheeky because of my age. I get away with it, you know. And I said, and when did you leave Cranwell, sir? He said, just 2 weeks ago. He's absolutely green as grass, and he doesn't even shave, I don't think, right? Well, the officer next to him is a flying officer who's commissioned from being in the ranks, so I knew him well. And it's just really lovely. I do get away with murder. I met this group of people and I said, gentlemen, I said, have a little rummage in my morale bag, see if there's something you like in there, and it just make your day sort of thing, you know. Well, this officer, he said to me, how much? I said, come now, sir. He said, I get away with murder, I know. I said, come now, sir. I said, did Jesus say when he was going to feed the 5,000? Now, before you have your loaves and fishes, I'll just send my disciples round and he'll just take a coin off you. And they all laughed and he said, no. I said, this, sir, is the 21st century version of the loaves and fishes. And I've got Haribos and Mars bars and crunches and flakes and nugget and anything else you can think of. And, of course, sometimes it just gets a conversation going and I'm able to share the gospel. You know, Elisha, he just didn't get close, but his continuance was amazing. He got off the boy, he went to and fro, he got back on the boy, and as he to'd and fro'd and got back on the boy, we read that the boy's flesh became warm. You see, Gehazi, he went in, put his method on, nothing happened, he cleared off. Not Elisha. No, he not only got close, but he continued. He had perseverance, and we need perseverance as we share the gospel. Look, as he got near, the boy's flesh became warm. And the boy's flesh became warm, and we know that he came to new life. Do you remember? Naaman had to dip 7 times. The children of Israel went round Jericho 7 times. And this boy, he sneezed, and on the seventh time, he changed and he got new life. The child opened his eyes because of Elisha's perseverance and continuance. Yes, we have to remind people, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and I share Jesus knocking, yet his feet aren't facing the door, they're facing away. And I share that with the troops. At Easter, I give out cream eggs. Everybody gets cream eggs. Well, before that, Christmas Day, when I visit my troops, if you're on my camp on Christmas Day, you'll get a big tube of whatever you choose. I've already started to buy them. Easter, cream eggs. Everybody gets cream eggs. And it's an opportunity to share what Easter is all about. You know, I was speaking to a young airman called Kaboy, a lovely young man. I remember he'd only just arrived at the unit with another young man, and all the guys were there in the working area. And the boys knew me, and I said, "Morning, guys, help yourself something out of the bag." And I said to the two new boys, "I'm Meg the Mobile Vicaress." And Kaboy said, "I'll only listen to God if he speaks to me direct." I said, "Kaboy, I'm his rep. He sent me. Why send me when he can, if he can do it himself?" I said, "No, I'm his rep. He sent me. And I am telling you what God wants of you and I." "No, I will only listen to God if I can hear his voice." Well, we had a little chat, and out I went. I went to the boss's office. I said, "Flight, can I just sit down at your desk?" "Yeah, yes, Maggie. What are you up to?" I switched on the mic. Now, I could see all the boys, but they couldn't see me. Switched on the mic. "Kaboy. Kaboy, can you hear me, Kaboy?" Well, I could see Kaboy, and he was going, "Yeah." He didn't know there was a system in the section. It hadn't been used. He was, well, the boys just were laughing, and one boy came by the window and he went, because they know how naughty I am. Next time I went in Kaboy's section, he wasn't there. But they told me he was in another section doing some work, and I was making my way round anyway. And I made my way round to the section, and he was working outside, but he didn't see me. I went into the section, and I stood behind a door, and I could see everybody coming in from the crack in the door. And in came Kaboy. "Kaboy. Kaboy. Can you hear me, Kaboy?" Well, Kaboy and I got on really well. And I would give him literature, and he'd put it in his pocket of his trousers. If he was flying, he'd have a green suit on and put it in his pocket, he would tell me. He went away, or he was going away, but he sent me a Christmas card. And he wrote this in it: "Receive my testimony, that of God's grace. Jesus is my Saviour and Lord. I have chosen Christ, the Son of the Most High Creator, who took my place, wore my shame, and most of all, died to give us life." And Kaboy came to Christ. He's at Bryce Norton still. He's been away on a course, but he's still at Bryce Norton. When I do the Nijmegen march, I've no idea whose room I'm going to go in. And a couple of years or so ago, I was in a room with just two other ladies, and of course I always have my Bible and my daily readings by my bed. We're in a field. If you're thinking of coming, just be prepared. We're in a field. If you want to go to the conveniences, they're way, way across the road. And if you want to shower, they're way, way across the road. So it's no ensuite. And it's very basic, duckboard flooring, and that's it, you know. And I take my Bible, I take my readings, and because I'm much older than everybody else, I take a fold-up chair and I put it by my bed. You're in bunk beds, and I always get the bottom one because I wear specs, and I say, and I'm older, so I have the bottom one. And one of the girls, Debbie, she went to church, but why ever did I have a Bible at Nijmegen? She could not fathom. What was I doing with a Bible in the middle of a field? I knew Debbie well, and Debbie knew me, but Debbie looked after a team for a few years. But this was the first year she was doing it as an individual. And I do as an individual, so we were in the same room. So I began talking to her about why I have a Bible, why I take it around wherever I go. We went and had lunch in Nijmegen. You get 2 days free before you start doing the 100 miles, and when you've done the 100 miles, we're straight home. So you get a couple of days free. We went into Nijmegen, we shared lunch, and we chatted, and she asked me lots of questions. We start marching on the Monday, on the Tuesday, but on the Monday, in our room, I led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. I led her onto the highway of heaven before we hit the roads of Nijmegen. And earlier this year, Debbie went through the waters of baptism. She belongs to the Australian Fellowship, Hillsong. She goes to the Hillsong Church in Newcastle. Absolutely delighted that she's going on well. One of the girls was shopping, and I don't think any of you will have ever drank what I've had the privilege of drinking. Holy soda. One of the admin girls, she saw holy soda in a shop. It's only pop. I've never had an alcoholic drink, although I'm 68 in my life, so it's nothing to do with that. But it's holy. And she thought there was something special about it that I ought to have. And so, but not a Christian girl, but it's holy soda. And she brought me that back from the shops. My time's gone. I've just gone over a few minutes, friends. Forgive me for that. There's such a lot that one could share. But it is still a great opportunity. I'm in my 44th year of wandering around. I was 24 when I started. I'm now 68. But I have to say, particularly for you ladies, there's not many people of my age can get lots of nice free hugs from young men. You know? I am more popular than Posh Spice. And just let me say, which really surprised me, to prove that, if you go into one of my tea bars, there was an article written about me by a very charitable chaplain, very lovely. He wrote a lovely article about me. I was really surprised and taken back by it. But so lovely, this section cut it out of our camp magazine, put it in a frame, and I'm hanging up on one side of the tea bar wall and aircraft on the other. Posh Spice or any other young singer, actress, not in sight. Just me hanging on. So ladies, you're never too old to be a pin-up. Thank you. Do you want to take over? I've got one mix, and I think the young lady can enjoy it.
Let's sit down, shall we?